Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and Pastor Paul preaches your word, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Listen for the good news of God's word to you. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rochelle. I have a childhood friend who has worked for the past 20 years in the television industry, and he's a marketing genius for syndicated television shows. And a while back, while I was still the student ministries pastor here at MIPC, he called me to let me know that he was going to be in the Seattle area with the cast of Seventh Heaven. Do you remember that show? Yes? Well, the cast of Seventh Heaven, it was a show about a Presbyterian pastor and his spouse and eventually their seven children and their adventures. And my friend wanted to know if I wanted the actors who played the teenagers on the show to come and talk to our youth group. He was so excited about this. And I didn't want to squash his enthusiasm, but I had to ask him, well, are they Christians? To which he replied, no, but they play Christians on TV. My response, I thanked him for his deep heart, but explained that actors, meaning those that were acting the part of Christians on television, probably weren't the most authentic bearers of the gospel that we were trying to share with our students. Sometimes I wonder if we feel like actors. Like we've been assigned a part, accepted a role, been affirmed for the roles that we play. Maybe we feel like we're playing the part or the role of a Christian. And sometimes I wonder if we've somehow lost sight of the abundant life, the fullness of life that God has intended for us. Today is the Sunday that the church remembers and celebrates Jesus' baptism. And as Christians, we believe that a baptism changes everything. We have a totally new life. There's a new birth. But there is a tricky thing about this new life. Much of it is unseen. Much of it is a mystery. Yesterday, I sat at the memorial service of my good friend Benjamin Town, 3 years old, who recently died of neuroblastoma cancer after fighting for his life for 17 months. It was very sacred ground to be at that worship service. One of the presiding pastors began the service with reading Ben's baptismal scripture. The service exuded the complex paradoxes of our Christian faith. Faith yet doubt, hope yet despair, certainty yet confusion. The simplicities and the complexities of walking with God, living in the now but hoping or putting our hope in that which is to come. I went to that worship service, along with so many others, longing to hear a word of hope. And to my joyful surprise, I left with a hope that God is alive and active and moving among us through the people of God, through you and me, through the very youngest of us to the very oldest of us. The service was beautiful. It was full of hope. Yet it was also a stark reminder of the fragility and the sanctity of life. And I believe that you know this all too well. Our current economy reminds us of how quickly the idols of money and financial security can crumble. Current world situations remind us of how fragile our physical safety can be and is for so many people, even as we gather here in this place to worship this morning. Ben's life reminded me that we only really have what's before us in the present. And even that can be taken away from us in the blink of an eye. So what do we have when all else fails us? With all my heart, I believe that the one thing that we do have that no one can take from us, can steal from our hearts, is our choice to have faith. Faith in God, faith in a living Lord, Jesus Christ. Our scripture this morning says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So we have to begin with asking, what is faith? Our text goes on to say, by faith we understand that, and it goes on to unpack it. To receive the sacrament of baptism in a particular church is to embrace that particular church's mission statement, but we need to remember that when we are baptized, we are not being baptized to be Presbyterian or Lutheran or whatever denomination we embrace. We're being baptized into a living, a vibrant relationship with God, which in our context happens to manifest itself in a way of being Presbyterian together. We're real people with soaring joys and deep despairs and everything that exists in between, who are invited into a real, authentic relationship with this God who knows the storyline, the plot line of our lives all too well. This God is an active God, not an actor God. When the great theologian and writer C.S. Lewis was a child in Belfast, Ireland, he and his brother Warnie grew up in a beautiful house named Little Leah. The environment of that house was the context in which his literary and his faith imagination grew, and those curiosities were stirred over and over again. In his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, Lewis writes, quote, I am a product of long corridors, empty sunlit rooms, upstairs, indoor silences, attics explored in solitude, distant noises of gurgling cisterns and pipes, and the noise of wind under the tiles, also of endless books. In that house, he and Warnie wrote stories and created imaginary worlds, and on one occasion, Lewis recalls his brother Warnie bringing to him this tin lid. It was a lid of like a cookie tin. It was a tin lid upon which he had built a toy garden made of moss and twigs, just a very ordinary construction. And for the rest of his life, Lewis remembered the sense of awe that came over him as he pondered that bliss of paradise, as the book calls it, represented by this toy garden on this tin lid. Lewis wrote, it was a sensation of desire, but a desire for what? Not certainly for a tin lid filled with moss. It had only taken a moment of time, and in a certain sense, everything else that happened to me, writes Lewis, was insignificant in comparison. This was the beginning of an awareness of the presence of what Lewis called the inbreaking of joy, an encounter with the holy. And for the rest of his days, he longed for the experience of the holy to be fulfilled, to become a lasting joy, a reality in his soul. This toy garden had become a pointer, a marker, a signpost to the transcendent God who was the creator of heaven and earth. And I believe that the creation does have the power to stir our souls. Have you ever sat at a sunset or at the ocean side or looked at the majesty of the mountains? Creation has the power to stir our souls, to create and to recreate within us the conversion of our imaginations. In fact, for many of us, I would probably even say that this is where our faith is born or renewed. One cannot be too careful in viewing and experiencing the mystery and the beauty of the created order. The transforming power of joy, of holiness, may break through at any given time, filling us with a longing for more and place us upon a path that we never imagined. Last night, at a very late hour, as I was going over my sermon again, I got to that part, on a path that we never imagined. And for some of you, you may say, gosh, God, you are good. This life is good. This is a path I never imagined. Perhaps for others of you, that may be a very hard statement to hear in partnership with joy, depending on your reality. But the joy that we're talking about isn't the shiny, happy joy, but it's a deep joy, a kind of joy that God promises to us and that the scriptures tell us about. In 1 Corinthians, it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I only know in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." I'm always amazed when I'm reminded in the scriptures that God has even the hairs upon our heads numbered. For some of us, that may not be too hard of an equation for God. That God knows the days allotted for every one of us and that nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. The creation has within it the footprints of the everlasting God. This morning, I would like to invite you to imagine with me that there is this tin lid being presented before you, before your eyes. And on this tin lid, there are paths, there are ways created to usher us to that day when the joy of the Lord will be made complete. What's on that tin lid for you? Who's on that tin lid for you? Many of these ways and paths are often prepared and gifted to us, and many of these things we get to partake in each and every week as we gather here in worship. We get to partake in communion. We come forward to be renewed and receive the Lord's Supper. We witness baptisms in front of us at the baptismal font, and we see children whose faith is being claimed for them, the promises of God being claimed for them, or adults claiming that faith for themselves. It's through the music being sung that tells us, that reminds us, that proclaims for us individually and together of the God that we believe in. It's the scripture being read and preached, the prayers, the sharing of our joys and concerns, the person sitting beside and before you. And at the risk of perhaps sounding utterly unreformed, I think that these are some of the very ordinary ways, the ordinary means that God brings about mysterious gifts of grace. for every one of us in a tin-lid moment. When we gather in worship, we should experience ourselves as ones who are called to be servants of a living God in our everyday, ordinary lives, and ones who are called to go from this place and to live our everyday, ordinary lives in an authentic way. So maybe the more appropriate question for us this morning isn't what is on our tin lids, but what is in your tin? And maybe the tin is our heart. And so what is the treasure that you store in your heart? As a community, especially in these uncertain times, what or maybe who, or maybe more appropriately, who is our treasure together? And how do we invest in that treasure? Do we hold back? Or do we move forward in faith together? My friends, together we are a part of a great cloud of witnesses. When we say that we believe in God, we are saying that we are a part of something so much greater than ourselves. At times we may not understand the strange longings of our own hearts. We may resist the presence of God. We may even say no to that joy. However you come to this moment, this place, whatever your reality or your life circumstance, this I do believe, that we believe in a God who wants to meet us in the breadth and the depth of every moment. And so today on this Baptism Sunday of the Lord, we begin a new sermon series that we've titled Faith Seeking Understanding. And we will use one of the ancient creeds of our Christian faith to help us unpack what we believe, or perhaps maybe what we don't believe. And hopefully to gain a new or renewed sense of affirmation with the saints of the ages of our faith together. For the next 10 or so weeks, we will use the Apostles' Creed to guide our weekly sermons. And our confirmation class, which is comprised of many of our freshman students and their leaders, are beginning their confirmation classes today. They, too, will be going through the Apostles' Creed on their confirmation journey. And so, in a sense, we as a congregation are doing this with them, making the journey of faith with them through their confirmation experience. But perhaps God intends for you to have your own reawakening, your own time of faith examination, your own confirmation experience. One of the great things about confirmation at MIPC is that it's a space where students are encouraged to agree or disagree, to affirm or challenge whatever is being presented to them. There's a culture that's fostered in confirmation that's set to remove the filters and bring your honest questions of life and faith before one another. And that's what we hope to foster together through this sermon series. That this will be a place where we can celebrate the mystery, but we can also dwell in the questions, the concerns about faith, in this life that we live together. Maybe your confirmation class will be those who you are sitting with this morning. Maybe it will be your family dinner table. Maybe it will be your weekly book group or your Bible study group or your skiing friends or your exercise buddies or the water cooler at your work where people gather, your teammates or the lunchroom at your school. You fill in the blank. And as we work through this ancient creed, one caveat that I would want to say is don't let the word ancient be an obstacle for you. Explore the language and prayerful prose of the creed. Think about it, affirm it, challenge it. In fact, the creeds surprisingly invite doubt. We have to learn to trust our questions, to think more deeply, never to quit our pursuit of truth, to probe the pages of Scripture, to listen to the pulse of our lives, and to pray deeply. As one author puts it, quote, "If we think absolute certainty is the only posture of the faithful Christian, then we are going to wind up mean or disillusioned. End of quote. Friends, we would all do well as we embark on this journey together to remember that the Apostles' Creed was sung in worship before it was ever dissected or analyzed in a classroom. It was a worship offering. And so I'll close with this. Remember, our faith isn't in a creed. The creed is a signpost. We believe by faith in a living and an active God. And faith implies that which we give our hearts to. So as we begin this journey together, I ask the simple question, what or who is your faith in? Or maybe more succinctly, in an honest, a personal examination of your heart, maybe the question is, by faith, what or who have you committed your heart to? This is a good starting point as we begin to explore the very one who desires our hearts to be committed to him. Let us pray together. God, Saint Augustine once said that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. And so we pray that we would find our rest in you, that we would find our hope and our faith in you in these spaces of worship. And as we gather, that you would send us from this place of worship to be your signposts in our everyday, ordinary lives. May we approach this journey together of going through the Apostles' Creed as an offering to you, an act of worship as we explore our life and our faith together, an authentic desire for a faith seeking understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.